Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live from the heartland of America, from the only state that's round on the sides and high in the middle, it's the American Legion's radio show with host Kevin L. White. American values, God, family, country, and aviation. And now, here's your host, author Kevin L. White.
Everyone, I know you're expecting Kevin L. White, as am I, and he will be here momentarily. In the meantime, I'm his producer, James Bostic. It's good to be here with you. We're just going to kill a little bit of time, waiting on Kevin to show up. This is the American Allegiance Show, and Kevin's calling me right now. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me okay, Kevin? Oh, my gosh. Okay. No, I'm not going to raise the quality of my call. Okay, Kevin, go ahead and dial that number, 347-637-3942. That'll get you into the show, or you can click the invite that I sent. Not exactly sure what happened here. I thought I'd sent that out earlier. Just hang tight, people. He's going to be here. Don't worry about that. And there he is. I'm pretty sure. Let's hope this is Kevin. And we're going to go ahead and bring him up right now. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Mr. Kevin White.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Absolutely, Kevin. You're on.
All right. How is everyone? Welcome. This is broadcasting live from the heartland of America. This is the American Allegiance Radio Show with your host, Kevin White. American values, God, family, country, and everything that's good. I'd like to thank my producer, Captain James T. Bostic, for tonight's show, putting things together. And thank you for the everybody. This is brought to you by the Patriot Nation Radio Network. So tonight we're going to talk about something that may be maybe not controversial, but something surprising. And in this first half, we are going to talk about Cuba and what's going on down there in the last week. And we, in the second half, we're going to invite a guest on the program, a friend of mine, ex-military officer, Mr. Ron Hyatt. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Maybe James can join in. We'll see. So here's what happened down in Cuba last week. People went to the streets to protest the Cuban government, and they used excuses. The mainstream media used an excuse that all this was because of their low on vaccines. And I don't know if you believe that or not, but if you don't know this, Cuba is really suffering lack of food, lack of gasoline, lack, no human rights at all, lack of the necessities in life, very poor, ravaged country. People are just getting by. And it seems like they've had enough with the emergence of the new president they have. The reason I say that Cuba is not worried about the vaccine, the distribution and everything, is they have actually five vaccines that they've created on their own. Two are in the public and being used, and three are still in development in the testing stages. Now, that's quite a feat compared to the U.S. Ours, we didn't have that many. We don't have that many. And they have a 92% effective rate. And these are for the people. Well, the reason they're protesting doesn't really matter. The big thing is this. BLM Black Lives Matter came out and made a statement about the protest, saying that they don't back the protesters, they back their government, and it's our government's fault for actually causing this problem. We are the root cause of the woes of the Cuban people, according to our government. According to Black Lives Matter, we are the reason that this is happening. Well, there's two things we need to talk about. Back in the 50s, there was a coup in Cuba. During that time, Cuba was prosperous. They had mansions. They had a lot of things that we have here in the United States. They were wealthy. They had all kinds of tourism there, and everybody was on the island was content with that. Now, maybe it's because there were too many millionaires and too many well-to-do people there. I don't know the reason why the coup happened and why Castro and Che Guevara did what they did, but they did it. So what would you do if you were a neighboring country and the island of Cuba turns communist with bloody revolution, and they glorify that bloody revolution? This is the problem I have with nobody being able to understand why the United States put sanctions on Cuba. Think about that. They sided with Russia for this effort. They took the side of anti-American values, zero human rights. Their goal, the revolutionaries, was become the vanguard of the Marxist-Leninist new government that only they are at the top of. So you can understand a little bit, this kind of describes what Black Lives Matter does. They're a Marxist organization. They don't really care about the people. They want to be on the top. And you saw that recently when, you know, they were discovered to buy their own properties. And none of the money went to any black person in the United States except for the top three owners and founders of Black Lives Matter. So don't forget, there are a lot of blacks, African descent in Cuba. And their lives don't matter to BLM, apparently. So how can you change the focus of what the real problem is? Is a communist government that beats people, they have no rights, and they have nothing, they own it, don't own anything, they can, they have no wealth to build. Do you think they care about the blacks? Who's going to help? This is a human rights issue. It's a human rights cause. These are things that everybody in their right minds would back. So this was not a Republican or Democrat thing, because a lot of our Democrat and mainstream media actually condemned this. This is not a popular move. They call it a blunder. I don't think it's a blunder. I think this is what they stand for. Unfortunately, BLM just showed their true colors. So who else backs this BLM thought? Bernie Sanders. You know, he's an outright communist. He spent his honeymoon in Russia with his wife. He's the kind of guy that you know would be involved in this. He's all for that. He blames the American government. A lot of people do. The American government has to do what they do to protect their people. It's not about letting things happen and furthering the communism, cancer, and spreading that to the United States or to our properties. Why do you think people get on a boat and swim north 90 miles for freedom? You know something's wrong. Nobody ever swims to Cuba because of the government. If you go back to the 1950s, old radio shows, Cuba is a very popular and paradise that people would go to spend a weekend there or even buy property. A lot of Americans live down there. So something is definitely wrong down in Cuba that somehow we had to cut off ties. And some of those are very controversial, but I won't get into those right now. So what does the squad think? they believe the same thing. Our government is at fault. People of color, you have to be a person of color in the squad, by the way. That's just the way it is. Where is Kamala? Where is Oprah? Where is Whoopi? Where is Ms. Abrams? What do they have to say about this? Where is Obama, who actually went back and loosened the what was going on in Cuba, the travel restrictions, and his friend Jay-Z and his wife went down there, and they had a great time on this little tour. But see, look, only the elite could go down there. Things are a little better now, but why would former President Obama do this? He respects Cuba, and that's kind of scary because Cuba has no interest in the success of America, the government they have now, currently. So why would they support that nation? Why would Obama take pictures in front of Che Guevara? So the true colors are coming out. Where do people stand on these American issues? These are constitutional issues. You can't have a communist and have a constitution that protects the people. It's not about the people. It's about the people in charge, power. So does BLM want freedom for blacks in America? I'm not so sure. I think there's more involved there. All the businesses and everything that was destroyed by their actions on the streets, I want to make that clear. The idea of BLM is actually what gave them a lot of power and a lot of money among minorities, especially blacks and white sympathizers. BLM, in reality, is a disruptive force with, I think, ties, I'm pretty sure, with nefarious characters and billionaires. Causing race wars and controversy and setting things up to where we see things on CNN anytime there's a black person that's shot by the police. These things come up. And BLM is always somewhere in the background lurking. So the actions on the streets belie the words and the philosophy of Black Lives Matter. Black lives do matter. So do white lives. Every lives matter. But if you say it doesn't, then how is that freedom? How is that fair for everybody else? So BLM, all their violence gave them money and all the whatever they did by taking on all these little cases like George Floyd generated estimated $10.6 billion in 2020. They made a lot of money on the George Floyd case in June. And guess what happened to it? All that money on their website went to Act Blue, which is a PAC, a Democrat PAC. So this Democrat PAC took the money and paid, went into, well, some kind of laundry thing, and it paid $800,000 to Bernie Sanders. There's your communism link there. And Pete Buttigieg got quite a bit of money, and Joe Biden got a lot of money. So where'd the money go after that? All those billions of dollars, how many came back to the black community that Black Lives Matter represents? To this point, zero. No one knows. And a lot of people in the other chapters, the sub-chapters, they call it the 10, are wondering, are asking the same thing. Where's our money? We made all this, we went out free, we did all this. They have nothing to show for it, but they're spending the money on themselves, Patrice Cullors and the other two leaders. And this is exactly what Cuba does. So I'm not surprised that they sympathize with the Cuban government. Why would you not go against that? Is there something else involved here? I guess we'll never know. So Patrice Cullors, as you know, she bought her own mansion or maybe two or three. I can't remember the exact number. But she has no problem doing this. And blatantly in the faces of the people who supported her and her group, this is what they do. And this is something that's not new under communism and despot governments. This is exactly their, and they call themselves Marxists. And this is exactly what they're doing to their own people. They are desecrating the black community. The very supposed leaders are taking advantage of them. People gave all kinds of money, almost $10 billion to Act Blue, unknowingly given to Act Blue. It was like disguise to where they took advantage. They duped a bunch of people. The people who paid all those donations had no idea. Doesn't go to Black Lives Matter at all. So they were tricked into giving those donations and tricked into giving it to the Democrat Party, only the Democrat Party. I had the numbers for an article I wrote. I don't have anything with me right now. They erased all the information off their webpage to where the money went, but I do have it in another form. So the Biden administration now, if this isn't the worst thing they've done, I don't know what it is. They want to turn all boats coming out of Cuba back. How devastating is that? That's telling me he doesn't care. Those are people seeking asylum. What's the difference between them and the border? This doesn't make any sense to me. What's going on that he's citing? Is he citing because BLM is citing on that? The same thing. They're blaming the government of our country. So what's going on in Cuba right now is this. There are long lines at the grocery stores, long lines at the gas stations. People swarm to get food, but the food is limited. There's no fresh meat, no fresh bread, no private wealth, trash in the streets. The people are poor and hungry. So I have this sound clip I don't want to play for you. James, is called Cuba. If you can find it on there.
Nope. You probably are not going to like Cuba that much. There was literally no fresh fruit, no fresh meat, no fresh vegetables. Nothing. There was one brand of the things they did have, and the things they didn't have, well, screw you. So, that is life inside of socialist Pan-Americana here in Cuba. Socialism sucks.
This area was so developed. All around you, there's just beautiful development. Mansions, by every American standard, mansions. Just one generation. All of this wealth, all of this beauty evaporated, rotted, unsustainable because nobody has any private wealth to keep it up.
This is just a block up from the tourist area, and there's so much trash and garbage in the street that it is like the smell is so putrid. You can barely walk by it. There's flies everywhere. It's just an overflowing dumpster of rotting trash. It's really gross.
But you hear, it's like a trope. Communism, everyone's equal, equally miserable, equally sad, equally depressed, equally poor. Ha ha ha, it's like you can see it on a t-shirt. No, it actually does suck. Like, it actually is that. Like, communism succeeds in the crushing of the human spirit and the helplessness and the beaten downness of the Cuban people is one of the saddest things I've ever experienced.
I'll never forget that building that me and Josh snuck into, walking around. This is a beachfront property, and it looked like a war zone. It looked like a bomb had hit it. Walk inside, you can see two stories down because the floors are blown out. Same thing upstairs, just crumbled. When I went back outside, I noticed that there's fresh laundry and people inside these buildings. They are still living in this building, and I will never forget that. To me, it's just like, you cannot tell me that socialism works.
Look around you. The effects of socialism are everywhere. Crumbling infrastructure and disgusting living conditions. That is what socialism has brought to Cuba.
Maybe the socialists in America should take a short trip, a short 90-mile trip, and come here and say they want this in America.
These are how bad things are in Cuba. And that was Turning Point USA. Four crew members went down there to discover what, for, you know, Cuba really looks like. I think the name of this clip is Don't Believe Anything They Tell You About Cuba. The real Cuba is what they went to. And they were surprised. As a matter of fact, their last day or last 2 days there, the police came to their door to kick them out of the country, and they were almost arrested. So that's what kind of government you live under, and that's why the people want out. Along with Cuba, there's a lot of other countries, if you haven't noticed, that are fighting for the same kind of things. Oman, Colombia, Yemen, Haiti, Turkey, Russia, Tunisia, and France. People are getting tired of this. And a lot of this is spurred on by the COVID virus because people are tired of being locked up and tied up. People want their freedom. Just like Israel. Israel has no choice. You have to be vaccinated. There are no rights over there. We live in the greatest country in the world. The Philippines, Israel and the Philippines, they are tying people down, throwing them on the streets and giving them the shots. They have no choice. People are screaming to get away. Is that going to happen here? We have these door-to-door vaccine troops that are coming, Gestapo, to make sure you get your vaccine, or as the president says, a shot in the arm. These are not constitutional. We live in a country with a constitution. Are we really safe? What's going to happen when that starts going around? Do they have the right to do this? They shouldn't even know if you've been vaccinated or not. That's the issue there. How do they know that? They're violating HIPAA rules? I don't know. But we're headed down that slippery slope. We're pretty soon, and this is already happening in other countries. In France, August 1st, if you don't have the vaccine, you cannot buy food. Pretty far. But not really if you think about it. Think about these states, California, New York, Pennsylvania. They can make up whatever they want in those king rules. And hopefully, you know, Newsom will be gone soon in his recall, and he makes it out. But you see what they're doing? Candidates are being knocked off of the candidate list. You have radio show hosts and other candidates that are being denied to be on the ticket for no reason. How is that possible? So that's why I call California a California stand. And I feel bad for all the people, all my friends who live there. It was once a great state. That's a state where I came from. Things aren't the same anymore. Things are going downhill because, why? Because the same communists I told you about earlier and Marxists are in our government. You go back to the 50s where all these communists were rooted out and, you know, people were blaming them, claiming they're communists. Guess what? I think it was true. I think McCarthy had a point there, and we didn't pay attention. What better way to take down this country but to do it by subversion? Same thing with China. We have China. We have people at the Hill in our capital that are Chinese puppets. You never know what could happen, who they support, and nobody does anything about it. It just seems like nobody does anything about it. Those are our constitutional rights. They need to defend the Constitution. Anybody who blames our government for Cuba and not the Cuban government, they are, in my opinion, enemies of our country. We can't stand for that. You can't have, like Dianne Feinstein, you can't have a driver you didn't know was a Chinese spy for, what was it, 20 years? And then nothing happened. We can't run our – the people that have the most power are the people that are the most corrupt. Capitol Hill, the Senate, the House. And they seem to get away with it. They have top secret clearances given to them. And this is where the corruption comes in. It took me 6 months to get my top secret clearance. And they talk to everybody I know. It's not true up there. They just give it to you. Oh, you're going to need this clearance to govern. No, they should do background checks before you run for office. That's the way it should be. Just my opinion. It's the only thing that would be fair. So, and it would be security is number one, not what you want to do, not that you want to make a career. If you're there 30 years, you're probably a billionaire, and you see all these people making $174,000, and now they have like million-dollar mansions. This is what goes on in communist countries for the people at the top, and that's what they are. They're people at the top. So we're going to take a break here, James, and we'll be back with our guest. Can you play some music?
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Lift
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot punch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot punch.
A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Lift
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot punch.
Daylight come and we want go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot punch.
Daylight come and me want go home. Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Hello.
Hey, Ron. I'm inviting Ron Hired on to the program right now. Hey, Ron, tell us about yourself a little bit.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Can you tell people what you do or your expertise is? Tell us a little about yourself, your military career, and your
social. Oh, I'd be happy to.
Go right ahead, sir.
Sure. So I enlisted as a medic in the Air Guard, and I served as a medic for over 13 years. And then, as I like to say, tongue-in-cheek, I gave up all my stripes and half my brain to become a second lieutenant. The other half of the brain grows back by the time you're captain, so that's what the second bar indicates, right?
That's awesome.
But my, as a... as a sergeant yourself, I think you'd I thought you'd appreciate that.
Yeah, anyway, thank you.
I really wanted a very specific job, and I had to get commissioned to take it. And that job was military equal opportunity. And I'm glad I got it. I didn't get it the first time I was passed over. And then something unique happened. When it opened up again, I was the only person that had applied the second time that applied the first time. So whereas most of the people that were applying for that job really just wanted to become an officer, I was willing to become an officer to get that job. So a little bit different. And I really did enjoy it. I felt I did a good job at it. And essentially, for a simple explanation of what I did, is I taught the classes on the rules that we had to follow for not discriminating or harassing, and then ran a complaint program for the people that didn't pay attention in class.
Awesome. So that's a good one. And so that's related to your current job, I understand.
Well, I work at a university, and whereas a lot of what I do at the university is not related to that, certainly paying attention to diversity is always part of what happens at a university.
Yeah, that's a huge part of university. So I've got a question for...
Yeah, for example, the University of Cincinnati asks for all job applicants what they have done in that field in their whatever background they're coming from.
Interesting.
It is.
So I'd like to know your take, since you're a diversity teacher, guru, what's your take on what's going on in Cuba as related with BLM and their take, their position on what happened down there about a week ago?
Well, it to me, unfortunately, is a logical conclusion to the bad governance of Cuba. It's not the first time. There was some pretty big riots over the same problems back in 1994. Cuba, because it is a communist dictatorship, and that's almost redundant, when the Soviet Union dissolved in 1991, the Soviet Union had been a supporter of Cuba, and so when that support went away, they had quite a bit of austerity there in the mid-90s. Well, now they've got further austerity for different reasons. First and foremost, of course, is that communism simply does not work. It doesn't economically function. And for Cuba in particular, it had a supporter up until about maybe 2012 with Venezuela, and that support went away. And then with the current situation, their reliance on tourism, that has gone away because of the lockdowns associated with the pandemic. And so I'll give you just one for instance of something I dug up. The people there are being told that there's not even enough gasoline for ambulances. So if they call for an ambulance, one's not coming because there's no gasoline. Yet, when they're holding their protests, they see police officers and plainclothes secret police officers arrive in cars. So clearly there is some gasoline when it comes to defending the government. But it's not there for something as basic as an ambulance.
So they're the people that have and control have everything, and the people in the streets have nothing. Because on that video I was talking about earlier, I mentioned they show this huge line of people trying to get gas, and this is cab drivers and everything. They don't count.
Right. Nope.
And that's just the way it is, and the people on the top have everything. So, yeah, continue on.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know exactly what BLM has said about it, but the organization of BLM, as we know, is dedicated to Marxism, not to what their slogan says that they are. And so they want to defend the Marxism that is failing those people, and saying that it's, you know, the fault of the U.S. with trade embargoes. Well, those trade embargoes go back, what, 62 years, I think?
Okay. Yeah, I think it's 1958.
Yeah, so that's not what has brought Cuba to this point.
Not exactly.
Not by a long shot.
That's the year my 58 Mercedes was built. So
there you go.
It's been a long time.
Right.
But it's always it's always capitalism, though. That's the target. And capitalism, it's because of what we did. You know, capitalism was what made Cuba what it was.
Absolutely.
And now it's not there. So
certainly
as far
not.
As the government, and my theory on the government not being able to provide things is the government doesn't feel the people. The government people are going to know how much they need, how much people – they go by supply and demand. That's just a natural human thing. I'm going to make all these – I'm going to grow all these potatoes. I'm going to sell them. People want this demand. They want more. I'm going to make it happen. The government controls all that. And it doesn't work because it's one – for everybody. It's not tailored to the customer. It's tailored to what their command economy, which never works, as you said.
You know, trying to talk about an economy without talking about capitalism would be like trying to talk about an ocean without discussing water. Let's go back to a very fundamental state of humanity, right? Let's go back 30,000 years ago, Stone Age people, right?
Right.
And when someone made an arrow or a stone arrowhead, that arrow was a product of their labor. And if they traded that, let's say you've got one person who is very, very good at making the best arrows that anyone can get their hands on, but they're not a very good hunter. And then you've got someone who's a very good hunter, but they're all left thumbs like me and can't make an arrow to save their lives. Well, you trade some arrows for some meat. That's capitalism. That
exactly.
is a fundamental capitalism. And then every other economic theory is just how much interference there is with the free market. And that's how I see it.
Exactly. So the best product wins. You know, the approval and the use. And in the command economy, they just throw people at the problem. There's
sure,
no
and also by,
tailor.
Sure, and also by centralizing the decisions of a command economy, any one bad decision is going to be an amplified effect. If you've got, let's say here in Ohio, you've got 1,000 different restaurant managers that each make their own little decisions. Well, some of those decisions are good and some are bad, and some restaurants will close because of bad decisions. But if you're making that centralized, let's say, you know, the governor of Ohio was making all those decisions and the new governor makes a bad decision, then all the restaurants close. That's a problem.
Right.
That's a much bigger
and
problem.
It's the ultimate micromanagement of everything,
right.
which
right.
does not work. And you know, I always say the military is a dictatorship, but there's no micromanagement like that. And people make their own decisions. That's the difference. But you don't see that in these despot countries. As a matter of fact, one example I have, we were in France in 2018 in Paris. The Airbnb, which we paid like $300-some a night for a week, the owner says, hey, you can come back next time and not have to pay. And you think, you know, he's being nice, but actually, I know another person who rents things in Paris. The government has control over how much you can rent, how long you can rent, how many times a year. There's a season you have to stick to. That's why they offer things for free. So there's no freedom we are living in the best country in the world. We can do what we like, but there's a lot of other places you think that are like us and they're not. Well, they don't have a constitution like us, like we the people.
No. There's someone I know that points to two things about any given government, and that is whose face is on the money, okay, and who do their military personnel swear an allegiance to. And in the
yes.
United States, it doesn't really matter whose face is on the money, okay, whether it be, you know, an image of some, you know, Lady Liberty or George Washington. It's not of the current president and never will be. And then we, you know, for the military oath, it's to the Constitution, right? And then
correct.
You and I have both been in the Guard. We took two oaths, didn't we? Yes. And for the listeners, those two oaths, one of them was for the U.S. Constitution. The other was for the state of Ohio. Okay. But in England, for example, it's the Queen's face on the money and their military personnel swear to the Queen. Their oath is to the Queen, not to the Magna Carta.
Right.
No, not to the Parliament, but to the Queen. And that tells you a lot right there. I don't know what the Cuban oath of enlistment looks like. I should probably look that up.
That would be interesting to find out, but I'm pretty sure.
I think I'll look that up for you.
Yes. Pretty sure it's to, you know,
right there. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a flaw, and that's one thing. The military does not support the president. They support the Constitution because
they
know
defend the president.
Our founders.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
The founders knew, in case things happen like this, the president is just a person who can be removed if,
sure.
you know, it came down to it.
Absolutely.
And you have generals that are maybe political at the top, but like I was telling them last week, a lot of our people in the military are snitches, and you get rewarded for being a snitch. You're going to catch somebody. Everybody knows regulations like you wouldn't believe. They know what's supposed to happen, what's not supposed to happen, and people are removed for that. This is a good thing about the military, that they will be there for us. So they haven't failed us yet.
Right.
So Ron, I have a problem when this is a human rights issue and Black Lives Matter turns their back on them. Now, there are Black people on the island, as I said earlier. Do their lives matter? Do any lives matter, Black lives, even in the United States, since they didn't help them out with their campaign, made billions of dollars, and they got nothing? So is this group really for Black people?
You know, I don't know. I'm no expert of the demographics of Cuba, but I'm keenly aware of significant African ethnicities within the population there. And, you know, according to the organization of BLM, if those people are on the wrong side of this, then no, they don't seem to matter, do they?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, and they say something that they don't back up, and this is what I think they got caught. They got caught in this controversy. They fell in a trap, and it's opening people's eyes now. Maybe not the, you know, the true supporters, but this is very disturbing. Are you what you are, or what do you say you are? So the true colors have come out, and I see the parallel here between the Cuba regime and the leadership of Black Lives Matter. Not the people who are faithful givers and believe in the philosophy, but the people who are running the organization. They are Marxists. You could say they're communists because that's what they're doing, the same exact thing that Cuba is doing. They don't care about you or your people, or they give up things for other people, such as the Democrat Party. They don't care about Black lives. If they did, they would have, you know, given money to people that needed it the most. I think the only thing they did was they said they were going to open up a bank. Yes.
Instead of shopping for mansions?
Yes.
Right.
The only thing they did do is, yes.
If I had $100 million dedicated to the preservation of black lives, I would be setting up programs in the city of Chicago to reduce violence.
Exactly.
I would be setting up programs to help young ladies make a choice to keep their babies instead of the alternative.
Amen. Exactly. That's helping black lives.
I think $100 million would go a long way for both those.
But here's what they did do. They promised that they would open up some kind of bank, okay, which they haven't done yet, and a library of some kind. How does that help anybody? If you go to that bank, I guarantee you, you have to apply for credit to get whatever they have. And
sure.
It's just talk at the time. So how is that helping? All these people, it's not your money. So now here's the controversy. All those people who gave that money, it's now their money. It's the DNC's
right.
money. It doesn't
right.
want, you took away, it's theft. But nobody's done anything about it. And the funny thing was, there was another Black Lives Matter group at the time who used Black Lives Matter, Inc., and they made $1 million siphoning money. But what happened? They went after them, took all the money away from them, and charged them with copyright infringement, took the money back for $1 million when they made $10 billion. So how is that? You know, things like that happen. So what? I mean, they were smart enough to do it. They're, you know, they believe in Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter is not, you know, something you can patent. But they were so adamant and greedy about getting their money back. When not two people can do the same thing. This is how they operate. They're in it for themselves. As you said earlier, they bought the mansions and everything, and the cars and everything else, living, you know, ghetto fabulous, as they say. As the saying goes, right?
Yeah, where are all those mansions again? I'm trying to remember, but
you know, and they're in predominantly white neighborhoods, really white
no.
neighborhoods.
No,
yes. What is going on? So everything is a lie. Everything they do, in my mind, maybe not everybody else's, but in my mind, what they did is a lie. And their victims are people who are trying to protect. And the people they're trying to push, and you know, and they're not doing it. This was all a trick, in my opinion. They should be investigated for what they did with the money they gave away. But they got hoodwinked too. But you know, when they came to the table because they made so much money for the party, they tried to get into the White House. They had problems with that. They kept getting ignored. Here's what the problem was. They used them as useful idiots to get elected. So they had demands.
Well,
what are the demands? Yes. They had demands. And the current corporate president, they had demands. They wanted to go to the White House and negotiate to get their group ahead, you know, notoriety. So what happened? They said, we don't want these people put in office to Biden's committee. We don't want Garcetti. We don't not want Rahm Emanuel. We don't want Raimundo and Buttigieg. Guess what happened? They appointed every single one of those people to their cabinet. They got bamboozled by the people who took the money from them. And that's what they are. I mean, give them $9 million. That's fine. They'll be happy. We made all this money, and we're going to use it for what we want to use it for.
Okay.
So they got played. They got played big time, and no seat at the table, no nothing. They just they went away with their tail between their legs, and they got a measly $9 million. And they can't, you know, it's not enough money to help a lot of people, so they helped themselves. That's what they did. They sat at the table, you know, eating their lobster and shrimp, and everybody else that helped them has nothing, including their own chapters.
What do you see as the future of the organization Black Lives Matter?
Well, as long as they keep getting money from big billionaires, I think they're going to be alive and well, unless somebody intervenes. But, you know, it's hard to do that because you'll be a racist if you don't, you know, if you go against them. That's the problem. The optics are going to be ugly. If the police arrest a lot of BLM people, I'm sure they have, but not on camera, but there's going to be a lot of hateful things said out there and a lot of protests. Just like when you wait for, you know, the police report to show that a black man was shot by a white guy, even though there are other minorities there, it doesn't matter. This is one of the things that BLM pushes, along with BLM and CNN. They all work together. So I don't think, I'm not sure anything's going to happen in the near future, yeah. But it could longer down the road, especially after this little hiccup they had here with Cuba. People are starting to see what this is about.
Let me ask you another question. Why do you think that Black Lives Matter, the organization, has as one of their stated goals the abolishment of the nuclear family?
Yeah, they actually removed that after they posted it. But it's
too late. Still one of their goals, though.
Yes. And it's also a goal to bring in transgender and rainbow people. So the other thing, yes, why do they have that? Why is that their goal? Because that destroys the family. And it's already happening in the black community. So I don't understand why they even say things like that. I mean, there's a lot of families that don't have fathers present. They don't have that guidance. Why they would do that? And I think this is also a goal of other organizations that are left-wing extreme.
Yes, one of the
breaking
other
up the family.
Things I recall, I believe it was in the Green New Deal, was to eliminate single-family dwellings.
Yes. Break up the family, destroy the culture. And this happened, this started way back in the 60s, you know, with the Moynihan Report, when they encouraged people to not have fathers at home, but they're paying their money in welfare. They're getting more money that way. And then if somebody was living at home, the father, then they would lose it. So this has been going on, and this is brought on by, you know, president at the time. And these things have never gotten better. Everything went downhill since then, if you notice, in the black community. So you can see, I've done an article on this as well. If you go back to the 60s when all this happened and the statements that were made to keep the black family down. Because before that, even during Jim Crow, blacks had businesses. They had all kinds of things. They had whole industries. The first billionaires and millionaires, and everything was going great. And then this happened. Then everything started falling apart. I don't have any numbers with me tonight, but I'll tell you what, everything that happened from that point on when the father was removed was the worst thing that happened for the culture. So fast forward to today.
I remember reading some statistics that there were significant increases in unwed childbirths through the 60s and 70s within the African ethnicity in the United States.
Yes, and if you have children,
I can't quote the actual site, but I remember reading that.
Right. I don't have that in front of me, but yeah, and so the more children you have, no father, how do I like more money you make? It's a money-making thing, and that's it's a weird economy, but that's how it is. The incentives are there. So why would they take away the father? This is already an issue. I'm not sure why they would say that, but I know they got rid of that real fast when it first came out. They took it from their website, and I don't know if it's back on. I don't think they have any control of what happens on their website. I really don't, because there's a lot of things happening like the queer community and the cross-dressing, that a lot of blacks who are mostly conservative would not stand for, but they're pushing this on their agenda. I think this is another agenda, like I said, from somebody, you know, way up there in the this kind of movement. Same guy who backs the Antifa movement is working in both. And as a matter of fact, you see that if you look at rallies, most of the people are white on these Black Lives Matters things that are going on. If you see the pictures in the media, it's not, I mean, most of them are. So why is that? Because it's not really what it shows. It's not what it says it is. Just my opinion doesn't mean it's right, but that's how I see things And I do see, I have friends that wear the BLM, Black Lives Matter, masks or shirts and everything, and they're not violent people. They just believe in that. And on paper, it looks great.
Right. I was in a discussion with someone who was upset about the death of George Floyd and felt that the time that it took to arrest and indict the officer who's now been convicted, it was just too long, and that the, quote, protests were justified. And this person made a point of saying, you know, what's the big deal if an AutoZone has to be closed for 2 weeks? And so I asked this person, I said, have you heard of David Dorn? And, of course, they hadn't. You know,
right.
I'm like, I feel like his life mattered too. And you know, you and I were in the Air Force together, and in a really old pamphlet in the stuff that I had, the equal opportunity stuff, I remember reading somebody had put into an Air Force pamphlet the following, that each and every person has infinite dignity and worth. And I believe that each individual has infinite dignity and worth. And unfortunately, though, some of us get temporarily confused or, you know, frustrated, whatever the case. And who do we call when there's somebody that's being dangerous? You know, how have we set that up? And
yes,
the answer is
right.
we have a police force. Okay. And
right.
I got to tell you, I had a couple of friends from high school that became police officers, and I would not want to be a police officer. I totally agree. You know, I would not want to be the person who has to make a decision on whether or not I got to pull out lethal force to deal with that, and whether or not I make the right choice.
I got to interrupt you for a second. We only have a minute and a half left. You can hang on and listen. I've got some good news. Tell everybody. Next Monday on Gary Benford's show at 7 o'clock, he's going to have General Michael Flynn as a guest. So I want everybody to tune in. This is a really good, a great thing for our program and our network. So, Ron, I hope you join in too to listen to that.
Sure.
It's going to be amazing. And I think James Bostic is going to be running that, Captain James T. Bostic, for that show. And we look forward to it. We want everybody to listen in and enjoy that. So my announcement is over. Ron, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you being here. I know you have the expertise and the knowledge and wisdom to put that out. I appreciate it. And
I appreciate the opportunity to be part of the conversation.
I'm going to have you on again some other time for anything else related, and that would be awesome.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. Something, as you can tell, I'm a little bit passionate about this. Human rights and the Constitution and having a Constitution make a difference. So I want everybody to listen to Gary's show on next Monday, and I'll be back on Wednesday. We're going to have a great time again and a different subject. Everybody take care, and God bless America. Thank you.